Well, good afternoon. On the phone with me today, we have Pastor Paul Thompson. He is a pastor of Eastside Baptist Church in Twin Falls, Idaho, and he was one of the 10 Baptist volunteers who was recently in Haiti in late January with the goal of taking orphans out of the earthquake-ravaged country and into the Dominican Republic. And Pastor Thompson, how are you doing today?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I'm doing really well. Appreciate the opportunity to speak today.
Well, we're talking after you have made a very bold, exclusive interview with the Baptist Press. This comes after Laura Silsby was released by the Haitian authorities on May 17th. And you were in Haiti. Tell us what you were doing and tell us what happened.
Yeah, Brian, we had were in Haiti with an organization called New Life Children's Refuge. And Laura Silsby is the director of New Life Children's Refuge. It's based out of Idaho, but it's been a long time passion of Laura's for this while to go and minister to the children of Haiti. And so whenever this earthquake took place back in January, it certainly increased the awareness, the need, and highlighted everything of why Laura was convinced that she was wanting to set up this orphanage to minister to the children of Haiti. And so the word spread from her church, which is in Meridian, Idaho. I'm in Twin Falls, Idaho, about 130 miles apart. But the church that I pastor here received indication that they were needing some folks to go with them to help, one, establish the hotel that we were converting into a temporary orphanage in the Dominican Republic to receive the children. And then secondly is going into Haiti and receiving children from orphanages that were overcrowded and to take them into the Dominican Republic back to this orphanage that was being established.
Well, so you were there. You've done several missions trips over the years, so you weren't really new to this kind of work.
Yeah. Correct. I've traveled overseas quite a bit, and a first time of working with an orphanage, but I was just there as a volunteer, going to give aid and assistance to Laura and the others who were working at a Central Valley Baptist Church and setting up this orphanage.
Well, that's not uncommon. A lot of folks in our area do the same thing and take summer missions trips and medical missions trips and other events that we're involved in. So that's not unique. But with the earthquake taking place and then with the things that unfolded during that time, you really ran into some unique experience. And elaborate on that. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, well, you know, the most unique, well, I don't know if I can yet say what's the most unique part of this trip, because every bit of it was pretty unique. the events that led up to our arrest were multiple days worth of things that led up to our arrest. Most of the media has presented our arrest as taking place on a Friday at the border, as though the border guards arrested us attempting to cross the border. And we actually were not arrested until Saturday, January the 30th, after we've spent 2.5 days complying with every government agency that we would, Dominican Consulate, Dominican Republic Embassy, Haitian Child Services, attempting to find out what is the necessary documentations that are needed. We had received word from a Haitian policeman and from Pastor Jean Stanville, who is the pastor of the orphanage that we eventually receive the children from. And both of those individuals give us the word that all that's necessary in Haiti for us to receive the custody of the children from an orphanage is for the director of that orphanage to actually sign over the custody of those children into our care. And so from a Haitian policeman and a director of a Haitian orphanage, we took that information, still went to the Dominican Republic consulate and embassy buildings to make sure that was the necessary documentation to go into the Dominican Republic border. And in pursuit of that, which takes, each time that we make that attempt to do that, we're told that there's no one there that can give us that paperwork, or that paperwork is still en route and we'll have to come back and try to get it at another time. And so we would comply. We had another government office building to go to, so we would go to it. Eventually, we discover that Haiti is operating under this, obviously, emergency status that they're in from this earthquake. And so we discover that there's another document in Haiti that they would like for us to have. And so we go about pursuing to find that from Child Services. Again, very similar kind of situations that we found from the Dominican Republic consulate and embassy buildings, is that there's nobody here with that document. Nobody can give you that document here. And so eventually we're through Laura Silsby, indicates from one of her meetings in one of these offices, reports to us that she's been instructed. They feel as though we have achieved a necessary document from the orphanage director. We have that in our possession. We have the names of the children. We have their birth dates. We have a list of their closest living relative. That's all on a document that we have with us. And so they suggest we go to the border with that document. And so we do.
Comes after you have spent many attempts trying to get proper
Correct.
Documentation from the consulate, from Haiti, Dominican Republic.
Correct.
And you're getting nothing but the runaround.
Correct.
Waiting and waiting and waiting, and nobody has the document. Nobody shows up.
Correct.
So.
And you know, we don't really feel that it's necessarily just a deliberate runaround.
Right.
It's obvious. This city is leveled. There is order in the city, but it's devastated.
Sure.
And so, you know, the runaround doesn't feel like nobody's wanting to help us. It's just that people in these offices literally just don't know what document we need, or don't know how to help us with a document.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you go, you take what you do have and go to the border.
We go to the border, and we get to the border, there's many media reports make it sound as though we were making an attempt to cross the border without permission. We drive on the only road that is available to go on. We're in a commercial bus. We drive up to the border. We stop at the border guards. They ask us what we're doing. We tell them. We submit to them the documentations that we have. Through quite a bit of dialogue amongst themselves, they eventually ask us to pull the bus off the road, and they call up the chief border guard. Most of this I spell out in pretty good detail through the Baptist Press, but they more or less at that point, the chief of the border guard, he tells us that, listen, there is another document that you're going to have to go back to the city to get. He says, I don't have permission to let you cross the border without that document. And so in complete compliance, we agree that we'll do everything that's necessary to achieve whatever's required for us to do this. So he actually tells us at the border, you can't stay here, you can't cross the border, you're going to have to go back to Port-au-Prince tonight. So this is a Friday evening. It's about 6 o'clock, maybe around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock on Friday evening. And so we don't have any place to go. We'd already spent the previous night on the street with the kids.
Slept literally on the streets.
Correct, yeah. We just found what we thought was the safest place we could be, and the Lord protected us, and nobody even walked down this street the entire night.